The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, Israel and Iran exchanged airstrikes on Wednesday. All of this while Iran repeated its rejection of Donald Trump's claim that negotiations are ongoing to end the war. Here is Donald Trump talking about the regime change that he says is happening in Iran.
I hate to say it, but we killed all their leadership. And then they met to choose new leaders and we killed all of them. And now we have a new group and we can easily do that. But let's see how they turn out. We have really regime change. You know, this is a change in the regime because the leaders are all very different than the ones that we started off with that created all those problems. They did something yesterday that was amazing, actually. They gave us a present, and the present arrived today. And it was a very big present worth a tremendous amount of money. It starts with no nuclear weapons, and they've agreed to that. There won't be any nuclear weapons. They're not going to have, and they're not going to have enrichment. Look, I hate to say that we're in a very good bargaining position. And I hate to say that they're defenseless because, you know, until that last missile is fired, they have little power. But we are in about the best bargaining position.
Well, a spokesperson for the Iranian armed forces said that the U.S. is negotiating with itself.
Do not call your defeat an agreement. The era of your promises is over. Today, the world has two fronts, truth and falsehood. And every freedom-seeking person will not be deceived by the waves of your media. Has the level of your internal conflicts reached the point where you are negotiating with yourselves? There will be no sign of your investments in the region, nor will you see the previous prices of energy and oil until you understand this. Stability in the region is guaranteed by the powerful hand of our armed forces. Stability comes through power.
Well, Channel 4 presenter Matt Fry joins me now from Jerusalem. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Claire.
Does anyone know what's going on?
I don't think so. I'm not sure if Donald Trump knows what's going on. You know, judging from the clip that you just played there, you have to ask yourself, you know, what medication is he on? What is happening in that mind? Because it's so contradictory. There are so many different stories that have come out since the beginning of this war. And the words are just scattered around like confetti. Meanwhile, the missiles are still flying. The hard numbers of the oil market or the gas market go up and they go down. Uh-huh. And I mean, I'm sure that there are negotiations of some sort taking place. I think the Iranians, when they deny that, are probably trying to mislead us. There are some kind of talks, but we don't know with whom. We don't know if the people that they're talking to represent anyone other than themselves, because when you kill that many leaders and when you know that Iran's whole governing structure, you know, in an era of a war and after a legacy of resilience, is meant to be atomized, and they're meant to make decisions, you know, on their own while the supreme leader is either dead or incapacitated. So, you know, if you put all that together, you get a very fragmented puzzle with lots of pieces missing. Just one thing that's emerged this morning is that this 15-point plan, and we do love plans with points attached.
Yes.
It's the very same one that they sent over to the Iranians during negotiations, which were then broken off by the Americans and the Israelis with airstrikes last June. And that document, that 15-point plan at the time, was largely perceived to be a document of capitulation, mm-hmm. which the Iranians were not prepared to sign then. And given the fact that they've discovered that they have leverage through the Strait of Hormuz, they are very unlikely to sign it now.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to ask you about that, because when I was coming into the studio this morning, I did see the news that the Pakistanis had said, we have the document, we've passed it to the Iranians. So I suppose that gives us a hint that there is something going on, that there is something moving.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell us anything.
I think there is
something
moving, and I think the Pakistanis are probably involved in it. But we're so desperate in a sense because there's so little information. And because the whole world economy has been upended by this war of choice that was started just over 3 weeks ago. And there's so much fuzziness within Iran itself because so many people are dead and those that aren't dead have a target on their head and they're in hiding. We've got a new supreme leader who we haven't seen or heard from apart from a couple of written statements. So in this very, very dense fog of war, with the markets literally kind of sitting on the edge of their seat on one buttock, right? Quivering buttock. You know, any information is welcome. So you see them reacting, you know, extraordinarily, I mean, euphorically, 2 days ago when Trump issued that post on social media saying, you know, I'm going to delay the Armageddon clock by 5 days. They, you know, oil dropped by 15% in seconds. Mm-hmm. Someone made a lot of money out of it, but that's by the by. And then suddenly they realized, actually, well, did he mean it? What do we believe? What don't we believe? The fact that you're going to the Iranians, hardly the most reliable source, for validation of something the American president has said, is in itself an indication of how incredibly untrustworthy the whole environment is.
Yeah, his approval rating, I saw there was a Reuters survey out last night, puts him at 36%, which is incredibly low. I mean, you've got to think at some point soon, he and those around him will start to panic about this, looking ahead to the midterms. I'm talking about Donald Trump, of course. I mean, that is not a good place for him to be in right now, with rising fuel costs, everybody going, why did you do this? What's going on? And his approval ratings in the toilet.
Indeed. And of course, he doesn't need to worry that much himself, because he will be in, you know, I mean, it's extraordinary to think he's only been in office for 14 months, because it feels like a decade, but he'll be there for another 2.5 years. Or whatever it is. But if he if his party loses the midterm elections, then life will become more complicated for him. Although as a president, he can still do an awful lot without Congress having to approve it. And let's face it, for most of the stuff that he's done, and he's done a lot, he hasn't bothered going to Congress. He's just issued one emergency decree after another. But the key thing is that the Republican Party, which has been missing a spine ever since Trump came back to office, has discovered that it needs a spine in order to stay alive. It's a vertebrate animal. And because all these senators and especially congressmen and women are facing extinction at the polls in the midterm elections, they're now going to put pressure on Trump. And we're seeing the beginnings of that in the Senate over some, you know, legislation not related to the war, to say, hang on a minute, you know, you are costing us our seats. And ultimately, self-preservation, as we are discovering, whether it's in Tehran or in Congress, is a very powerful motivator.
Mm-hmm. I saw some rejoicing from Thailand this morning, because they said they got a tanker through the Strait of Hormuz. And I'm just going back to your analogy about people sitting on the edge of their seats with their quivering buttocks. I mean, all sorts of sectors are in that place now, like shipping, energy, aviation. You know, international aviation models are being changed as we speak. 300 planes, I heard one airline saying, in dry dock, essentially, because they can't move them. The implications of what is happening, we haven't even got a handle on them yet, do we?
Well, we're all, you know, having a geography lesson at the same time, because the Strait of Hormuz, let's face it, was a kind of pub quiz question until about 2 weeks ago. Now, even my kids are asking about the Strait of Hormuz. And, you know, they would have thought in the past it was the Strait of Hormuz, which is what they love eating for breakfast and lunch. Now it's the Strait of Hormuz, you know. So, and America is learning not just geography, but also about the limitations of its own power once again. And we're all learning a little bit about shipping, that 90% of the trade on which we rely, which we take for granted, whether it's our washing machines or our computers, all that comes via ship. And now a large part of that, an important nodule of that shipping landscape, has been choked. The Iranians are discovering and learning, you know, that they actually have more power than they thought. I mean, everyone is on a learning curve here for something that the president and the Israeli prime minister started, not out of necessity, but out of choice, 3.5 weeks ago. You can even make a case for the fact that Israel regards this as an existential fight. And if your biggest neighbor in the region doesn't want you to exist, and you are Israeli and you have your Jewish heritage from the Holocaust, where, you know, you were wiped out almost because of not what you have done, but who you are, I totally see where the Israelis are coming from with this, although you could argue that they're going about it the wrong way. But for the Americans, this is not the same war of necessity as it is for the Israelis. There is just, America is just not threatened by Iran in the same way. It just isn't. And when they try and make that argument, as the president has done repeatedly over the recent weeks, and indeed his surrogates on Capitol Hill, like, you know, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, have tried to make the same argument, it just doesn't wash. The American people don't buy it. But what is a necessity for them is the price of gas, when they're already drowning in inflation, And what has become a necessity and the war of necessity for Trump is this economic war. Mm-hmm. So even though they've got the smartest bombs in the world, they've taken out 20,000 targets together with the Israelis. They've killed the leadership. I mean, they're showing immense military power. But once again, America has misunderstood that military power alone does not a war you win. You know, it doesn't work. You have to have a political strategy. You've got to have some kind of long-term idea of your, not just your exit ramp, but also what you want that victory to look like. And they're frankly confused whether they want regime change. Yes, ideally, we'd all like Iran to be Sweden, but that's probably not going to happen. In fact, if anything, it's been kicked into the long grass by this war. We don't want civil war, although the Israelis could probably live with it. We really don't. It's kind of weird to go back to, you know, negotiations with a regime that you wanted to wipe out. And suddenly, not only are we back on February the 27th with the regime in power, albeit diminished and bruised, but also you're lifting the oil sanctions against them so that you can put more oil into the global market. You're talking to people you regarded as Beelzebub beforehand. I mean, frankly, none of it makes any sense.
Well, Matt, I mean, if we accept that Donald Trump is trying to, or it seems as though he's trying to find some sort of a way out of this with, you know, his talk of peace negotiations and 15-point plans and so on, why is he sending the 1,500 members of the 82nd Airborne Division to the Middle East? Have you been able to figure that out?
Yes, it's called show and tell. So I will, you know, I want to sit down with you, or rather I want to talk to you. You know, I'm in the White House, you're in a bunker or a cave, but in case, you know, you don't listen to my arguments, let me put this in another way. You know, here are 5,000 soldiers ready to do whatever. But the trouble is, the mere fact that these soldiers have been sent is not just a projection of American power. It's also a sign of desperation, because then they were never supposed to be sent. There was never a plan for them to send boots on the ground. The whole premise of his war of choice was, this will be over in 3 days' time. This will be done very quickly and for us painlessly. And then the regime will just crumble. Now, what does that remind you of, Claire? That reminds me of Vladimir Putin in February of 2022 saying, we're going to roll in the tanks and the Ukrainian government will just crumble, because after all, they are a neo-fascist Nazi imposition on the poor old people of Ukraine. And then our tanks will be welcomed with open arms and there'll be flowers stuck in the barrels of our guns, and everything will be, you know, all singing and dancing. And of course, the very opposite happened. And I'm afraid something similar is taking place here. And so I think for Trump to send the troops, you know, okay, it's a bargaining tool, I get that. But the problem is they might actually have to be used. And then what are they going to be used for? You know, if you occupy, let's say, Kharg Island, which is where Iran exports 90% of its oil, well, you can, you know, that you can do that. You don't need to occupy the place. You can just, you know, you can just do your own blockade of the Straits of Hormuz, so that at the moment, the only tankers getting through are Iranian tankers. And you could literally have, five warships placed in the Gulf of Oman, which is where you have to go through after you've left our cul-de-sac of the Strait of Hormuz. And you could say, right, our oil's not getting through and your oil's not getting through. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't involve, you know, boots on the ground and taking islands and all that kind of stuff. So there's a real danger here that it's because of a sort of, you know, a performative display of power and the belief in its own military supremacy, America is getting sucked into something that it precisely said it wouldn't get sucked into, which is a land war, a war of occupation, however partial, in the Middle East. And I think that is something the American public won't like. It's something that Congress won't like. It is something the president probably doesn't want to stick with because he's got a short attention span, and potentially a bit of yet another disaster for America in this region.
Matt, thank you so much. Always good to talk to you. Matt Fry there, Channel 4 presenter, who is joining us from Jerusalem.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.